Hi everyone, you're listening to Faith Family Worship Center's podcast number 150 for November 28, 2010. In this podcast, Pastor Archie will be sharing his message titled, How to Pray for Daily Bread. Enjoy.
But it's truth. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. And I pray, Lord, that as we look into your word this morning, that you will imbue in us the truth of God's word, and we can live by them, apply them to our lives, and be fruitful in the kingdom of God. So bless your people now, O God. We're totally dependent upon you. Let your anointing flow, anointing to your people, and anointing to your servant, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you can be seated. So we are continuing our series on learning how to pray. Now, first of all, we started with verse 9. In this prayer, it says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The first principle in prayer is praise and worship, because praise and worship is the key into entering into the very presence of God. That's the first principle. That's what the Bible says, enter into his gates with what?
Thanksgiving,
and into his courts with praise. And the second principle is in verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the principle of priority of worship. I mean, priority of prayer. Now, in this lesson that we had last time, we learned four things about the kingdom of God. That the kingdom of God is a kingdom of his government. His rule in us. His authority in us. And then secondly, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of grace. That's why the Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And in the throne of grace, we don't find judgment, but we find mercy and help and grace in time of need. Isn't that wonderful? That God is not here to condemn us, but he is here to pour out his mercy and his grace upon us. So the throne of grace, and secondly and thirdly, it's a kingdom of his goodness. That's what the Bible says. For the kingdom of God is not what? Meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the summary of God's goodness to us. He gives us his righteousness, he gives us his joy, and he gives us his peace. And fourthly, it's a kingdom of God's glory, and that will come when he will establish his kingdom on this earth one of these days. And we also learned that in order to pray for the will of God in your life, you must abide by three principles. Number one is the what? Principle of surrender. You can only know the will of God in your life as you surrender your life to him. That's what Romans 12:1-2 says. The second principle is the principle of the scripture, a scripture principle. Jesus said, if you abide in me, that is surrender, and my word abide in you, you will ask anything and it shall be given unto you. See that? Scripture and what? Surrender. And of course, the principle is the spirit principle. Many times we don't know what to pray for. But praise God, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. So that when we pray according to the Spirit of God, in the Spirit, he helps us pray the will of God in our lives. Amen. Amen. So these are the things that we have learned so far about prayer. But today I would like to concentrate on verse 11, which says, Give us this day our daily bread. The third principle of prayer is the prayer for provision. So this morning, I would like to speak on this subject, how to pray for daily bread. Now, as I look at this prayer that the Lord gave us, I want to remind you that it's a model prayer. He did not say, pray this prayer. Of course, you can pray that prayer. But he says, in this manner, pray. So pray in this manner. It's a model prayer for us. And it taught us wonderful things about prayer. He tells us that it is not the length of our prayer. All right? It's not the language of our prayer. Some prays in the King James Version. Have you ever heard people pray that in the King James Version? It's not the language of our prayer. It's not the logic of our prayer. But it's the faith of our prayer. It's the focus of our prayer. It's the force of our prayer that causes our prayer to be heard in heaven. So do you have a need today? Who has a need today? All of us. Well, God delights to meet your need. Amen. It gives honor to God for your needs to be met. It is really a dishonor to the Heavenly Father if He does not meet the need of His children. You know that? Amen. That's why He wants to meet our needs. He is more than willing to meet our needs. That's why the Bible says, if you delight in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. Are you delighting in God this morning? Now, verse 11 teaches us how to pray for our daily bread. Now, bread is a symbol of any need that we have. Of course, bread is the chief need that we have, because without bread, we die. So to live, we need bread. So this morning, I would like you to four steps in praying for daily bread. Four steps in praying for daily bread. Number one, you must establish proper priority. You must establish proper priority. Notice the priority prayer again. Notice again verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you see that? Your name, your kingdom, your will. Your name, your kingdom, your will. But in verse, it changes in verse 11 to 13. It says, our bread, our debts, our temptation. So first God, then us. So proper authority, proper priority, there is God's name and God's will, then your needs. Now, if you do not have a priority, if you don't have your priority straight, you will never have power in your prayer. God is not like a servant or a bellhop in heaven that we have running to meet our needs. Prayer is not some place where man gets his will done in heaven, but where God's will is done in heaven as is in earth. So the key is summed up in Matthew 6:33, and most of us can memorize this verse. What does Matthew 6:33 says? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you see that? There must be proper priority established. Otherwise, your prayer will not be answered. Answered prayer is not for rebels. Answered prayer is not for people who does not want the will of God. Prayer is not... So can you say in your heart, dear God, the desire of my heart is first of all your kingdom and your will. It starts with that. So when you pray, Lord, your will be done, your kingdom come. So you see, we're asking God to give you bread. Now, what is bread for? Bread is to strengthen and nourish your body So when you eat bread, the chemistry of that bread is incorporated in your body, and it produces what? Strength. It produces energy, right? And what is strength for? Activity. Work. Now, why should God give you strength to serve the devil? Or yourself? Why would God answer your prayer if you turn around and serve the devil? Huh? So first of all, you must pray, Lord, your will, before you pray our bread. So, but if you are not submitted to the will of God, if you have not established your priority, then you should not expect God to answer your prayer. Amen. Is that clear? Amen. Amen. Now, there is one place that God will not work, and that is what? Second place. He must be first place in my life, in our lives. Amen. Amen? That's why the Bible says, in all things he must have preeminence. Colossians 1:18. Therefore, if you are praying for daily bread, for any need, number one, you must establish proper priority. Amen. Well, number two, you must ask, right? You must express your prayerful petition. Simply ask God. Jesus taught us to ask. Jesus taught us to pray. Give us our daily bread. Do you know why some people don't have their needs met? They don't ask. They don't pray. It's that simple. That's why the Apostle James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus, said, you do not have because you do not ask. Amen? Look at what Jesus said, tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 11. It says, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives. Now, the word ask here is a continuing activity. It's not just one ask, all right? So he says, "Who everyone who keeps asking receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for a bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask him." Now, in these verses, there are five words that tells us to ask. So asking is very important. And it compares us as earthly fathers to what? To our heavenly Father. If an earthly father who is limited and sometimes it says here, will give good gifts to our children, how much more our good and heavenly Father gave us good things for those who, what? Ask him. See that? So the key there is to ask, to pray. Amen. Now, once you've established your proper priority, then express your prayer petition, just say, Lord, I have a need. Lord, I have this need that I need help. Do you know that you deny yourself when you don't ask and pray? You deny yourself when you don't ask and pray. Do you know that prayer is the key that unlocks the treasury of heaven? Amen. Amen. I wonder when we get to heaven one of these days and God is going to take us through heaven and he's going to say, by the way, let's just stop right here. I will open this closed door and I want you to look in there. You see all those things? These were yours? That you never asked for them? Those were blessings I wanted to give you, but you did not, you did it your way? Those were blessings you could have had, but you did not ask for it. You didn't take it. So I believe that we have treasures in heaven that we are not getting because we don't ask. Amen. Amen? Because the Bible says we are co-heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Amen. Amen. So one of the greatest and simple but profound truth that we can learn is that God answers prayer. Can you say that to your neighbor? God answers prayer. Amen. You can talk and call upon him, as the Bible says, he will show you great and mighty things that you don't even know about it. If it's true, and I believe it's true, then you are a fool if you don't ask. Right? The Bible says, the fool saith in his heart, no God. He's not only saying there is no God, but he said, no God, no, I don't need you. If you do that, you are a fool. That's what the Bible says. All right, a few things you have to do when you pray or ask. Number one, you must ask in faith. Simply asking God for things will not assure you a positive response. Jesus said, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. So there must be faith in your heart. Now, part of faith is the conviction in your heart that God, that is God's will to bless you. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is God. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently ask or seek him. So God is a rewarder of those who diligently ask him. Praise the Lord. So part of that faith is to be believe or to have that conviction that is God's will to bless you. Amen. Amen. He's a good God.
Yes.
Good God.
Amen.
We always sing that chorus, God is good. All the time. All the time, God is good. He is a good God. You know what our scripture reading this morning, as Sister Cecile was praying, he said, from him we have what? Received grace after grace after grace, blessing after blessing after blessing. That's how good the Lord Jesus Christ is. Okay, so you must ask in faith. Believe that God's will is for you to that God will supply your need. Amen. Expecting God to supply your need. So when you pray, expect God to move in your behalf. Expect God to heal you. Expect God to provide for you.
Amen.
Amen. All right, number two, be specific when you pray. Now, part of the problem is that our prayers are so general. So that when God answers prayer, we don't know whether he answered it or not. Because we pray, Lord, bless me. Lord, bless me. And God is saying, what kind of blessing do you need? What type of blessing do you need? Is it finances? Is it for a wife? Or a husband? Is it for a job? When the two blind men cried to Jesus, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David, Jesus asked them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, Lord, that we may receive our sight. It's only then that Jesus healed them. I was reading some time ago about Pastor Yonggi Cho, the pastor of the largest church in the world in Seoul, Korea. It used to be 750,000 members. Now he's retired, but in his early ministry, he became so busy that when he visited his congregation, he would walk. He needed a bicycle. And in his room, he was so poor, he said, stunning, because it's just after the Korean War. So he had no chair in his room. And he said, "Lord, I need a bicycle made from the USA. I need a chair and table made of mahogany from the Philippines. And I need a, what else I said? I need a chair, all right, with wheels," he said. And you know what? He didn't know how the Lord would answer his prayer. So he went around confessing that he will have a bicycle, he will have a chair, he will have a table or something. And the people said, "What is it?" So one of these few weeks later, an American missionary went back to the U.S. and he left all his stuff to him. So he got this bicycle from the U.S., mahogany desk from the Philippines, and a chair with wheels. See, the Lord answered it. See that? So be specific when you pray. Amen? So when you pray for a wife, you tell the Lord, "Lord, I want a blonde." Well, be realistic, you know. But be specific. That's what I'm saying. Okay? Number three, be persistent. Be persistent. And tenacious. Don't quit so easily. Do you remember the parable of the persistent widow in Luke chapter 18? The parable, in that parable, God is teaching us how to be persistent in our prayer. That men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint. That's what Jesus said. Now, let me read this parable. You don't have to turn to your Bibles, but you can open it in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. Then Jesus told this parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in the town who kept coming to him with plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me,' he said, 'I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I will tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" He's talking about here persistence in prayer. All right? Just a comparison about this of us widow keeps bothering this judge. And the judge says, because Jesus keeps bothering me, I must as well answer her desire. And the same thing with God. And when you go to God, you are not really bothering him. Amen? Because the Bible says that his ears are always open to the cry of his people. Of course, you look at the Bible, we have examples of people who prayed persistently. Daniel waited for 21 days before the answer came. So when you pray, don't quit so easily. Don't stop so easily. Many of us quit so easily. We leave the altar of prayer so soon. We don't spend time waiting upon the Lord. We want instant prayers, instant answers. We treat God as he is our servant. We cannot do that. Because prayer is much more than asking. That's the basic. But prayer is a communion, a fellowship with our Heavenly Father. He wants to commune with us. You cannot fellowship with God when you are busy or on the run. Right? He needs to commune with us, and we need to commune with Him because He wants to develop an intimate relationship with us. Amen. Amen. And ultimately, you realize that when you pray, it is Him that we desire most, not the things that we've been praying for. Because ultimately, in Jesus Christ, the answer to all our deepest prayers is answered. Amen? That's why the Bible says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap if we do not give up. So don't give up in prayer. Amen. Number four, you must forsake sin. Psalm 66 verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Sin will block the flow of God's blessing in your life. Another verse, Proverbs 28 verse 13 says, he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. So sin in our lives blocks the flow of God's blessing. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Your iniquity has separated you from God. So what do we do with sin? We confess. Then we receive forgiveness. That's what the Bible says. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to what? Forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So that's how to restore our fellowship with Him. Okay? Number five, you must have right relationship with others. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding. Give honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your answers may not be hindered. Amen. So husbands, have a good relationship with your wife. Amen. Can the wife say amen?
Amen.
And wives, have a good relationship with your husband, that your prayers will not be hindered. That's what the Bible says. So after proper priority comes petition. Asking. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Now, when the Bible says you shall receive, it doesn't mean that you have the key to Fort Knox. You know what Fort Knox is? It's the gold depository of the United States of America. It does not mean you will have everything you want. Now, the term daily bread here could be translated different ways. It could mean, give me this day bread sufficient for us. That means that God is going to meet your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible is, Philippians 4:19. But it does not say God is going to meet our greed. Now, there's a difference between need and greed, right? Like the women that go shopping, right? Forgive me of telling this, but anyway, they buy impulsively things that they don't need.
Amen.
Look at your closet, ladies. There are clothes there that you have bought and never been worn since you bought them 10 years ago, maybe. All right? To my back. Oh, that's a good excuse, right? Sometimes we want things we don't need, and sometimes we need things we don't want. Proverbs 30, verse 79 says this. Two things I ask you, Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. So, just the right thing. Amen? Friends, there is no need to small, no need to big. Whatever you need, you seek God first and his righteousness. And God delights to meet your needs. And then he says, call to me, and I will answer you and show the great and mighty things which you do not know. So number two is ask, right? Number three, you must exercise personal performance. That means work. In short, work. It means labor. Prayer is no substitute for work. Prayer is not substitute for diligence. When you pray for daily bread, do you know how to say amen? You work for it. Somebody said, I'm not going to work. God feeds the birds of the air. If God feeds the birds of the air, then surely God is going to feed me. But how does God feed the birds of the air? Does he put the worm in the nest? Or in the nest? No. He lets the birds go in the field and he scratches for themselves. They scratch for themselves. Now, how is God going to feed you? Here's the answer. Number one, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. This is Paul speaking now. He says, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is not willing to work shall not eat. Boy, that's tough, isn't it? You say, Brother Archie, that's cruel. No, it's not cruel. It's the Bible. It's Bible. Amen. Proverbs 20, verse 4. If sluggards do not plow in season, so at harvest time they look but find nothing. Proverbs 10:4, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. If you are too lazy to plow your field, you'll have nothing to harvest during harvest season. Amen? Proverbs 28, verse 19, those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their feel of poverty. Chasing fantasies. What does it mean? Daydreaming. Right? I wish I have this. I wish I have that. But they don't put any extra effort. So when you ask God, do you sit back and do nothing? Do you say, I'm going to show my faith by doing nothing, expecting God to just bring manna from heaven? Like what the Israelites had? No. To the contrary, you are going to show your faith by doing something. That's why James says, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. So do you want a house? Pray for it. How do you say amen? You work? Go to the bank? All right. Or you build it yourself with a hammer and saw. Do you want a wife? Pray for one. Or do you want a husband? Pray for one. Then, man, if you want a wife, go shave yourself, put some cologne. And learn some what? Good manners. And learn how to be thoughtful. That's how I got my wife. Actually, she was the one who was chasing me, not me. Right? Okay. D.L. Moody was asked, you know, the evangelist of yesteryear, D.L. Moody was asked to pray for another preacher who was in bad health. Moody said, I will not pray for him. They said, why? Why don't you want to pray for him? Why should I pray for him? He said, because he does 10 days work in 5. And it's everything in sight, he said. So he did not follow the rules of health, work, and, you know. So why should I pray for him if he himself does not practice the very rudiments of health? So you're asking God to give you a carte blanche to do whatever you want, to be lazy, to be indolent, and be selfish and indulgent. And you think through prayer God will counteract all these negative things? No, I don't believe that. You have to put your effort. Amen. So God says, you pray for bread, I will give you bread. But he also says, if you don't work, you will not eat. All right, so work. Work is good. I like to work. Amen. Work is good. It makes you, it gives you something, fulfillment. Amen. Fulfillment. Of course, when you're retired and you have worked all these years, you need to enjoy the fruits of your labor, right? Okay. Number 4. Enjoy your present provision. Notice that prayer again. Give us this day our daily bread. Not tomorrow, just today. And then say, Lord, help me to enjoy what you give me today, whether little or much, and know how to be abased and know how to abound. I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. Someone said, to whom little is not enough, nothing is not enough. You ask a rich man how much money he needs. He said, more. How much is enough? He said, not enough. See there? So, if little is not enough, nothing is enough. So, if you have not learned to be content in whatever state you are, you will never be content. You'll never be content. That's why be content with little and don't worry about tomorrow. Because Paul says, having food and clothing with this, we shall be content. Do you know what I want and what you want? We want to have enough so that daily we don't have to go to God and depend upon him. Right? But God does not do that. He wants us to, day by day, depend upon him. Because he wants that relationship with us. Amen. He wants that communion with us. All right? So I want, you know what we want? I want to have some money in the bank, right? So that when tomorrow comes, then I don't have to worry about it. That's what we want, right? We want security. Well, is that really security? Who is more secure? A man who has a warehouse full of stale bread, or the man whose father is a rich baker? Who is more secure? The warehouse that is full of stale bread where the mouse and the rats can go in and what? Eat those stale breads, or the thieves can go in and steal, or having a rich father who is a baker. Who is more secure? I would choose the latter one, right? Having a rich father who is a rich baker. And that's who God is. Amen. He supplies fresh, oven-baked, warm bread every day. And he invites us to his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love, because I am one of his children. Amen. That's why he wants us to pray, Lord, give us this daily bread. Amen. So that's why we have to enjoy the blessing that he gave us every day. The Bible says, do not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Enjoy. Proverbs 23:5 says, for riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. That's why people say money talks, right? And what does money say? Bye-bye. Easy money, easy to spend, right? But God provides. So your source is not our bank, but the source is from above. Yes. Our heavenly bank account, which is always, always full. And it's not affected by inflation, not affected by recession. Amen? The only thing we have to do is what? Ask the Lord. I heard about a preacher who went to the bank to cash his check. The banker said, preacher, I hate to give you all these dirty bills. That's all I got. The preacher said, don't worry about it. No germs can live on my salary. I like that. So, how do you pray for your daily bread? Number one, establish proper priorities. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given unto you. Matthew 6:33. Number two, express your petition to God. Just ask. You pray. And when you pray, don't give up praying. The question is, how long should I pray? You pray until you get the results. Amen. And number three, work, right? If any man does may not work, neither shall he. God will not bless your laziness, your indolence, or your selfishness. Then you enjoy God's provision day by day. Amen. This day, Lord, thank you for your provision. And as we have celebrated Thanksgiving, there's so much we can thank the Lord for. You know that? In our age, like Brother Roger and me, you know what? Every day is a bonus. Yes, every day is a bonus. So if you think of that every day doesn't belong to you, the only thing you can do is thank you, Lord. Amen. So every day is a bonus. Amen. So learn how to appreciate and enjoy God's blessing. Amen. Don't worry about tomorrow. The Bible doesn't say that you don't have to plan. No. We can plan for tomorrow. But don't worry about tomorrow. Right? We plan, but don't worry about tomorrow. That's what the Bible says. Don't worry. All right? So, Jesus said, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then he said in John chapter 6, he said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So there's one more type of bread. There's more than one type of bread. The physical bread and the spiritual bread. The physical bread feeds our body, but the spiritual bread feeds our soul and spirit. And that's why Jesus said, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give. Amen? Amen? So as you labor for your spiritual bread, you should labor more. Get sure that you're getting that spiritual bread from heaven, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And every piece of bread that you eat, in order for that to eat that bread, don't you know that a corn of wheat falls first to the ground? Amen. That's what the Bible says. Unless a corn of wheat falls to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, the Bible said, there is much fruit after that. It produces much fruit. And Jesus Christ is comparing his life to that. He died for us so that he can become the bread of heaven for our soul. Amen? And Jesus is the heaven's bread for the world's hunger. Amen. And Jesus, the Son of God, came. He died. He was buried and raised again. And became the bread of life that you and I can partake so that he could satisfy the deepest hunger of our lives. Amen. So my question is, are you hungry for that living bread? Who's the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you hungry for Jesus? He's the only one who can satisfy the greatest need in your life. If you haven't received Christ, if you don't know Christ, you still have that hunger in your heart that only Jesus Christ can satisfy. So today, as we close, why not surrender your life to the Lord? Amen? And you will find fulfillment. You'll find satisfaction. You'll find true life, because he's the one who can supply our deepest needs. And if you need anything this morning, what did Jesus say? Ask. Give us this day our daily bread. So that bread represents every need that we have. So whatever need you have, you ask the Lord. Amen? If you need healing, we can pray for you. If you need provision, we can pray with you, believing God that will supply all your need. So let's stand up together as we come before the presence of the Lord, worship. And if you want to come to the front and be prayed for, we'll pray with you, anointing you with oil, as the Bible says, and the Lord will heal those who are sick, and the Lord will supply all those needs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
And that was Pastor Archie on his message titled, How to Pray for Daily Bread. If you would like to join us for our Sunday service, our address is 6535 West Barrett Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Our telephone number is 773-888-FFWC. That's 3392. Our website is ffwcchicago.com. And you can reach us on our email, which is contactus@ffwc.com. Until next time, take care and God bless. Bye.